Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
If you are a white American Christian, here's a newsflash for you. The vast majority of the church does not look like you. It doesn't look like you. It doesn't look like me. I'm like the prototypical white Anglo-Saxon type Christian here in America, complete with the red hair and the light-colored skin. But the vast majority of the church does not look like the American church, does not act like the American church, doesn't even sound like the American church. I think that most of us in the American context anyway, because we're used to a predominantly Caucasian nation, although not overwhelmingly Caucasian anymore, but there's a distinct Americanness to our church life and the way that it looks and the way that it acts. But when we come into the kingdom of God, when we are going into his presence in the present day, and then when the kingdom is fulfilled here on earth in the new heavens and the new earth, and the city of God comes down and makes its place here on the planet, we're going to be, for me, I'm going to be what I like to call a spot in the buttermilk. I am going to be a very small minority. Most of the church on the planet, get this, think about this for a second. Most of the church on the planet exists outside of the United States of America. We tend to think of ourselves, at least I do, like we're kind of the center of the Christ-following biblical church in the world, and that's just not true. Most of the church is in other parts of the world, and God is doing amazing things and different kinds of things around the world than we see happening here in the United States. Not that God is not working in the United States. He's just working differently and in some ways more noticeably and on a larger scale in other parts of the world. And that could be, like you read about the Apostle Paul, one man that he healed right before he healed him. The Bible says that seeing that he had the faith to be healed, Paul healed the man in the name of Jesus. And perhaps that's a lesson to us in the American church, that if we only had more faith, if we only cried out more to God and believed in him more, perhaps we would see him manifest himself more obviously here in the United States of America. But he is working around the world. And today we're going to focus primarily on Africa, a continent that I've had the blessing to be able to go a couple of times, to the country of Kenya. And it's an amazing place. God is doing some amazing things there, but there's also intense persecution. Islam is growing in Africa. And so today we're going to kind of take a little leap across the pond by way of here in Atlanta, Georgia, where I'm broadcasting today here on Call to Action Radio. And then my two guests are in Raleigh, North Carolina by phone, but one of them actually is from Africa. He's from Nigeria. We're going to be talking to Stacy Reinhardt from MentorLink, as well as Timothy Olanade from Nigeria. And Timothy and Stacy, welcome to Call to Action Radio. How are you, brothers, today?
Good to be here. Well, glad to be here, too.
It's let me just say this right out of the gate, and then Stacy, I want you to tell us a little bit about MentorLink, and then I want you to introduce our special guest today, Pastor Timothy. But right out of the gate, these are some of my favorite shows. Anytime we have anybody on with a cool accent makes the whole show sound better. So praise the Lord for Pastor Timothy and his accent.
I got your message.
Thank you very much. But Stacy, tell us a little bit about Timothy, and then first tell us about MentorLink, and then introduce us to your friend and now my friend, Timothy Olanade.
Yes. Well, you mentioned that the church is growing rapidly outside the world. MentorLink came into existence about 16 years ago to help increase the number of leaders to serve the people who are coming to Christ all over the world, the tens of millions who are coming to Christ, and to multiply Christ-like leaders. We work in over 70 countries. We've done live training. We have a partnership with the Jesus Film, where we've repurposed the Jesus Film into a discipling curriculum called Days with Jesus. That's now in 20 languages, and it has a reach in over 153 countries. We've focused primarily on languages from Africa, the Middle East, in Asia, and also in China, of course, and in Latin America. So we work almost exclusively outside of the United States. I first met Timothy when he was he and I were both working with the Lausanne Movement, which is a global missions movement, and we attended a couple of conferences in 2004, 2006 together, and we were also both working on the Lausanne Global Leadership Development Working Group. And in that context, we both worked on something called the Leaders Covenant, which is two sides of one sheet of paper defining what true north is of what a Christ-like leader looks like. So I've met Timothy. We realized that we were on the same page, and not only on the same page, but in the same paragraph on the same page, and we just have a similar heart. We partnered together in a few things, and he's one of what Mentorlink calls a member of the Roundtable Fellowship. Timothy has had just an astounding ministry over the years. For quite a number of years, he was the executive secretary, like the general director, president, or whatever, of the Nigeria Evangelical Missions Association. And he expanded missions in Nigeria. They developed something called the 2015 Missions Movement. We're actually sending Nigerians to all over North Africa. And it's amazing the kind of missions movement Timothy is catalyzed. He's a motivator, a missions mobilizer. He's a mentor, a leadership developer. And in the last 10 or so years, he's developed a ministry called M2414 Initiative. And he'll tell you more about that. But it's my real honor to have him here in town to visit with us for a few days. And I know that he'll be a blessing to anyone who listens to him today.
Amen. And Timothy, let me welcome you to Call to Action Radio. We've only got about a minute before our first break. So do me a favor right quick, Timothy, and just give a greeting from you and from the people in Nigeria. And if you would, even do it in your native language. I would love that. We're going to hit the break here in about 50 seconds. So go ahead and do that. You're welcome.
What a privilege to be with you on the radio show today. Thank you for having me. My name is Timothy Olonade. By that last name, you could guess where I come from within Nigeria. I'm a Yoruba man. So if any Yoruba man hears this now, I would say, Eka san o, Chidada lewa, Eko America o. Well, I'm in America for a couple of days, weeks, just to do some.
Awesome. Well, when we come back from this break, Timothy, I want to dive right in to have you take us on a trip over to Africa. Tell us what God is doing over there, how he's using you, what's going on in the church, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because I know persecution is very real over there as well. This is Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. When we come back, we're going to go right to Africa.
Glory to your name today and yesterday, you're still the same.
All right, guess who that is? That, of course, my slightly older brother from another mother. That's Bishop Wooden. And if you've been a fan there, a listener on Call to Action Radio, go boy. You'll recognize his voice a little bit when he sings too. He does the whole James Brown thing. The guy's amazingly talented. He'll be there on Thursday night, June 30th, for Call to Worship at RFA Church in Raleigh. That's a big night of worship and praise and testimony. I'll interview Bishop Wooden on the stage that night. It's also a fundraiser for the radio ministry, so we're excited about that. We had some guests on, and I'm going to get back to Timothy Olonade from Nigeria and with MentorLink here in just a second. But we had a guest on, I don't know if it was early this year. I think it was early this year or perhaps late last year, Trans World Radio, which brings the gospel all over the world in multiple languages. We had him on before, and they're doing a really cool thing down in Cuba, where actually the it's going to be the biggest radio signal in the Western Hemisphere. It's not in Cuba. You can't pull that off yet. But it's in a Caribbean island that can reach Cuba and will saturate Cuba with the gospel of Jesus Christ and it's just amazing. As Cuba begins to open up, and that's a political conversation for another day, but they're stuck in the 1950s, and all of a sudden technology come and all that stuff. But the thing that they need more than anything else is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're working with Trans World Radio, and you can be a part of that and donating to their initiative, and you can find out about that with our friend at the Truth Radio Network. Truthnetwork.com is the website, truthnetwork.com, or you can give them a call at 888-256-1600, 888-256-1600, and that is just an awesome effort to bring the gospel to the people of Cuba. But today we're talking about Africa. Pastor Timothy Olanade from Nigeria is with us. And Timothy, thanks again for being with us on Call to Action. But tell us how God is working in Africa in the context of Nigeria. What's going on over there these days?
Thank you very much, Steve. God is at work in his world, particularly in Africa. We've had horrendous challenges, persecution, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, and all those places. But in the midst of all this, in spite of all this, God continued to showcase his son Jesus. I was sharing with a group of people today, instead of us being restricted from entering families and homes of Muslims before the Boko Haram, now many of them have been flushed out of their native land. They live in displaced camps, and we now have free access to them.
Wow.
So, in a way, God is using the very bad, ugly situation, turning it around for his own glory and pleasure. We see that in Nigeria. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, which I was going to say, Timothy, which from over here on the news, all we see is the terrible things happening in the Middle East, and we know about the refugee crisis, and people get worried about some of the wrong types of people coming to the United States, but they're fleeing the Middle East and fleeing to people places like Africa, which is just increasing the mission field right there in your own backyard.
Yeah, I think for every crisis that is engineered by the devil or the human being, God has a master plan in place. Nothing catches him unaware. He doesn't need CNN to get his news. He knows what's going on. He set the agenda for the whole world. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a testimony in all nations before the end comes. So God has set the parameter upon which the whole social global event will be finalized. The closure belongs to God.
And what is the environment like in Africa, and specifically in your nation of Nigeria, in terms of people that are Christian or maybe kind of Christian? We have a lot of kind of Christian people in America versus Islam versus other
All
faiths,
right.
especially in Nigeria.
Nigeria, we have about 85 million Christians. That's about 48% of our population. And let me give a very nice illustration. There are more Anglicans in Nigeria than all the Episcopals and Anglicans in UK and US put together.
Wow.
So God's been going forward ahead of humanity to establish a credible presence and witness for himself. There are over nearly 600 million Christians in the whole of Africa, and about 20% of those will be considered as evangelical. So in a way, God is setting the pace for Africans to be mobilized, to be discipled, to be mentored, as to become the instrument of change for the global church.
Yeah, and that's one thing. And tell us a little bit about the Anglican Church, Timothy, because a lot of people in America are not familiar with that. And actually, the mission opportunities and work that you have people from Africa coming to America, it's really amazing what God is doing specifically through the Anglican Church over there.
Yeah. You know, what happened is the Anglican Church in Nigeria has become the voice of check, the voice of correction for the global Episcopal community. Because when the issue of same-sex marriage and blah, blah, blah came up, the Nigerian church took a stand, and that stand has been honored by the Lord.
And then take us specifically, Timothy, into what you're doing in terms of mentoring and working with leaders, because you can have all kinds of people following the Lord, but you need good leadership as well.
Yeah. Now, this is what I sense God was calling me into doing in the last decade or so. With growth of the church, there's a need for more in-depth, intentional leadership development. And one way to do leadership development in a very practical and proactive way is to mentor the next generation of leaders. For instance, there are more Christians in Nigeria than all the Christians in the 15 West African countries put together. job of mentoring and upcoming leaders in Nigeria. We're providing a veritable platform for raising next generation of leaders across the continent. So I believe God called me up to focus on mentoring and to focus on mentoring for the harvest. Just raise the quality of leadership that we focus on finishing the task.
And has that been a problem, Timothy, where missionaries and Christian efforts from other countries come to a country like yours in Nigeria or anywhere in Africa, and they can have an impact for a week or two, but then once they leave, you kind of leave this void there where you got to have the local leadership or it's not going to stick.
Yeah,
it's not going to last.
You are absolutely right. When they come on a short term, even fairly long term, I think the beauty of the kingdom is not either or, both and. We need those visits, those input from the rest of the world. But when that input is made, we need the harvest. We need to strengthen the harvest. We need to put in place strategic, focused mentoring program that will assist the upcoming Christian to become responsible leaders in the society as well as in the church.
And what does that mentoring look like practically on a daily basis? How does that work?
Well, basically, it involves providing a shoulder for another leader to lean on. Showing each other something you've learned or discovered from the life of Jesus that others can learn.
And hold that thought right there, Timothy. We're coming up on a break, and you literally are walking alongside another person, helping to build them up and enable them so that eventually as you get to the end of your road, they're ready for the start of their road. This is Steve Noble and Timothy Olanade from Nigeria. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, down here with the Harvest Crusades team. We've got Harvest Georgia, September 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Please keep us in your prayers. And another reminder, Call to Worship, our event on Thursday, June 30th. It's really, event is kind of a cheesy way. It's an experience. It's really a pretty amazing night. Praise and worship, Matt Papa and his band. And we have three amazing testimonies that you're going to hear. One of which is a gentleman in his 70s who started dealing with transgenderism when he was 4 years of age and dealt with it for decades and didn't really get free of it till about 15 years ago. He's in his early 70s now, Walt Heyer, and just an amazing, powerful story and testimony, and two other amazing testimonies. Like I mentioned earlier, on stage interview with my slightly older brother from another mother, Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr., who will also be back on the show next week for another Black and White Day. And we're going to get some of his singers folded in with the Matt Papa band. So you're going to have this kind of white church, black church kind of raucous praising of the Lord as we finish the night that night. It's just going to be completely off the hook. And then that's a fundraiser for Call to Action as well. So you can get your tickets for that. C2AToday.com is on our homepage, and I put it up on Facebook pretty regularly right now. C2AToday.com for that information. Today, talking to primarily Pastor Timothy Olanade, who's from Nigeria. We're learning a little bit about what God is doing over in Africa, which is nothing short of amazing. And Timothy, I'm sorry I had to cut you off there before we got into the last commercial, but we were talking a little bit about what the mentoring process looks like on a daily basis, and you were explaining that as the older person comes along, the younger person, the newer leader, to walk with them and share with them and teach them. This is really discipleship 101, as we read about in the scriptures. But how is it working in Africa? Is it are the people picking it up? Not just the mentor role, but the need to be mentored as well.
Yeah, you know, in Africa is a communal community. People don't just do individual things. So you will notice that when you are a leader wanting to build other leaders, you kind of position yourself for a couple of other young leaders to want to relate to you, finding out how they can be better placed in the future to serve God and serve the community. So the responsibility first is for the leaders, the mentor, to position himself following Jesus, knowing all the paradigms of leadership that Jesus represents, put them into practice, right in the open for others to see. and to provide an enabling environment and access to younger leaders to want to come along. So that's the kind of thing that happens, you know, regularly. Then when you provide that kind of follow me as I follow the Lord, you need to establish what is the fundamental, non-negotiable leadership principle of Jesus. What do we learn from him? So it's not just about African chief, American CEO, Asian guru, but about Jesus, the Lord of life, a friend of sinner, the savior of the world, who is committed to making other people follow the will of the Father.
And how long, Timothy, does this process generally take before the person that's being mentored, the newer leader, is actually beginning to mature and getting on their own two feet where they can actually become a mentor instead of being somebody that needs to be mentored? How long does that process take? Because unfortunately, especially here in the American context, we don't have much patience. You know, we're thinking we can have a good weekend and go off to the mountains somewhere and come back with a brand new creation in this person we just sowed into for the weekend. But it does take longer than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right. It takes a longer period of time. It takes, it depends on what is the focus. Sometimes I tell my people that let's start a journey, but let's have end in view. What would you like to see done with your life? Where would you like to be? Because my goal will be to walk along with you to accomplish what you consider to be the purpose of God for your life as you follow the pattern of Jesus. So sometimes within a year, you're able to champion a direction that both of you, the mentor and the mentee, are both aware is the right way to go. And then you begin to see those you mentor about a year ago doing exactly what you're doing or even improving on what you're doing. I have a young man in Sudan now who I mentor for about 3 years. In the last 3-4 years, he's been doing an amazing work in Sudan, raising leaders, developing teachers' curriculum, just by coming along with him for 3 years of observing what we're doing and how he can do it in other places, including outside of Nigeria. So it takes time, but it needs commitment from both sides.
And now the one thing that I think a lot of people, myself included, sometimes think is that you have to be some kind of a really special person, a really incredible Christian, somebody outside of the ordinary to be a mentor. But what does it actually take to be an effective mentor, Timothy?
I think the first law that I tell people is the law of transparency, just being open and being humble. Because you yourself, the mentor, you have your own struggles, you're learning along the way, you're growing, you're seeking the Lord daily, you want to be what God wants you to be. So you're actually on journey, the same journey with your mentee, only that you have an advantage either by experience, by exposure, by extension of life you have received from other people. So you kind of have a little bit of opportunity ahead of him, and you want to give him that same opportunity or even multiply that opportunity in his life. So basically, there's no superstar in mentoring. You're learning to be like Jesus, and that takes a lifetime to achieve.
And generally, the mentor, one thing that I always notice is my father, who will be 90 in December, and has spent years in his retirement, the last 6-7 years, mentoring middle school age boys, like, 12, 13, 14 years of age. And I can't imagine what it's like for them as a 13 or 14 year old to have access to somebody that's been on this earth for over 8 decades and all the experience and things that he has to do is share what he's experienced and what he's learned. And that's something that younger people can't learn in any classroom on the planet. Am I looking at it the right way, Timothy?
You're absolutely right. I think one other ingredient that is often ignored is the power of listening. Because listening is a product of intention. Younger people need to hear the stories of the older guys. The older guys need to hear the struggle of the younger guys. So both sides need to listen. But I think when there's a commitment, for instance, I met a guy when he was in 7th grade. Now he has finished his master's degree, finished grad school. But we started when he was in the 7th grade, when we related. And we just saying, I would like to become like you. Don't become like me. Be like Jesus, and on like that. Today, he's running a second high school, private school of his own, and he's transferring the same principle to young people. So,
yeah, and that's amazing. Possible. And that started at, when did he start that process? At what age?
It was the seventh grade. That would be when he was about 11 or 12.
Wow. Just amazing. And do you think that in the church that we struggle with understanding that each person in the church, each follower of Jesus Christ has a unique opportunity, a powerful opportunity, an important opportunity to mentor somebody else? And I guess the point of my question, shouldn't every one of us, Timothy, in one way or another, be mentoring somebody that's younger than us?
I think every person in the church needs a mentor, needs a Paul. And everyone in the church needs a Timothy, someone you pour your life into. And the challenge, however, is we often have this bureaucratic mindset, thinking that I'm an individual, I'm alone, I'm independent, and I think it's a Western mindset. So I can do my own thing my own way. But we need to begin to look into how we avail younger people the opportunity to learn from the older people, and how older people need to bend down, come slower to hear the pain and the struggle of younger people. We need both.
Yeah, and I'm so glad and encouraged that you're mentioning something that I don't do very well at all, and that's part of the danger of being on the radio, is listening. And when an older person listens to a younger person, there's a unique value in that, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. For instance, the Mentor Link group in the United States, which I partner with, we have a program called Pass It On. And basically, it's to walk a leader, a younger leader, through a process of becoming Christ-like leader, not necessarily becoming the leader after Timothy, after Stacy, but Christ-like leader. And to achieve that, you need to spend quality time to look through all the paradigms that you can see in the life of Jesus, from his willingness to be nobody, submission to God, his desire to let us to grow other people.
Hold that thought right there, Timothy. When we come back, I want to finish that thought and then also ask Timothy about the persecution that's happening in Africa. And then finally, what can we do to partner with Timothy, what God is doing in Africa?
This is where I say this is where I admit.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Wanted to remind you, as I do most days of the week, again, another one of our great partners, Le Blue Water, which, by the way, is 25 years it's been around, bottled in North Carolina, and they're doing a free 30-day trial for all of our friends and listeners in North Carolina. That's the big 5-gallon container, 5-gallon bottle with the dispenser thing. Get that right in your house. There's no contracts or anything. Return it anytime you want. Averages out to about $1.25 a day for an average family. We just got ours at the Noble House on Monday. And so, all right, Gina's, my wife is watching on Facebook today and listening to the show. So, okay, honey, tell us on Facebook, just type it in there, what you think of Le Blue Water. I love this stuff. And they're supporting us. We're supporting them. It's a great product. Just the highest quality bottled water on the market today. And so you can have that at your home or your office or your church. 919-239-8000 is the number. 919-239-8000. If it weren't a great product, if I didn't believe in it, if Brock Agee, who's the CEO, weren't a brother in Christ, I wouldn't be talking about it. Okay. They're supporting the mission. They're supporting Call to Action Radio. They're supporting Christian radio. And so I support them as much as I can. That's what we're supposed to do in the body of Christ, is care for one another and try to model that here on the show. So again, 919-239-8000. That's a 30-day free, no risk, to get the Blue Water right in your house or your office or your church. Today, talking to my friend Stacy Reinhart with Mentor Link, but spending a lot of time with Timothy, Pastor Timothy Olanade, who's from Nigeria. And Timothy's been talking to us about an incredibly important subject. And by the way, I have on my Facebook page, Facebook facebook.com/C2A Radio, the links for Timothy's website, timothyolanade.com, where you can see everything that God is doing and how they're using him, how God is using him and the organization in Africa and all over Africa, the incredible work that God is doing through Timothy and the other folks involved with his ministry. That link is there, as well as the link to Mentor Link, which is really just, it's my, once again, when we actually follow the pattern of Jesus Christ, Jesus mentored these disciples for 3 years. And then when he went on back home to be with the Lord, they were ready. And through those 11 guys, and then it kept building and building and building. It's through that mentoring process 2,000 years ago that you and I are even talking to each other today. And so mentoring, an incredibly important topic that we don't talk about often enough and certainly don't do often enough. Mentor Link is right there. So the links are there at the Facebook page. But today, spending some precious time with Timothy Olanade, who's in from Nigeria, and he's in Raleigh, North Carolina right now. And Timothy, I wanted to ask you about kind of the tough side of what's going on in Africa, because I know there's plenty of persecution there and a lot of difficulties there with the AIDS epidemic and everything else. So what are the difficulties that you're facing, the Christian church is facing in Africa?
The Open Door just released a report recently that says, use the scripture, persecuted but not destroyed.
Yeah.
We've had incredible aggression against the church in Africa. We've seen hundreds of thousands of homes destroyed, churches burned, women raped, children slaughtered. And that's been on now for the past a decade or so. So that's across Africa, and particularly in Nigeria, with the Boko Haram and a few other insurgent elements in the country. So that's not news anymore. But what is news is that in spite of this crisis, the church has not caved in.
Yeah. Yeah, standing strong. And so how does the church in Africa deal with that violent aggression of these fundamentalist Islamic movements like Boko Haram? How does the church weather that? How do they deal with that in Africa?
One of the greatest blessings of the church in Africa is our passion to love and to be in love with people on behalf of Jesus. And so if the church had reacted violently over the years, the whole continent would have been up in flame, because the provocation is intense and it's daily.
Yeah.
But God has also shown us the other punch, the point of the scripture, to love your enemy and pray for those who despitefully use you. And so the church in Africa, particularly in Nigeria, though we have been on the receiving end over these many years, we have also been on the giving end, deliberately showing love in spite of hatred.
Yeah, and see that, and I'm so glad you're bringing that up, Timothy. And of course, that's what Christ did himself. And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when I'm thinking about those who are aggressive towards Christianity or towards Christians in general, here, even here in the United States of America, we're not facing anything like the church in Africa is, at least not yet. But oftentimes we think of the people that are persecuting us as they are our enemies, and they quite simply are not. They're doing horrible things. Satan is using them. Their own sin and their own flesh is involved. But we really only have one enemy. That's Satan himself. And then, of course, that was Jesus. And then that was the early church. Rome could not figure out a church that they persecuted and tried to destroy, who would serve them, love them, and suffer with joy. That is a witness that nobody can figure out, and obviously that's having an impact in Africa, isn't it?
Yeah. One of the scriptures that has really strengthened my own life and my leadership role, and as I provide leadership for evangelical mission community over the years, is the scripture that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, that if they hate you, know that they hate me first.
Yeah.
So I tell people, whatever we are going through now is a leftover. The original intent was against Jesus. And the world, the devil, has hurled all kinds of atrocities against him. So we are just exposed to leftover of his anger against the Son of God.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly. I try to mention that as often as I can here in America on the radio show, Timothy. That it really is all the things that we see going on in our culture here in America, and all the things where we're doing as a country to turn away from God's teaching and God's word. It's all just a reaction to the God that everybody knows exists. Romans chapter 1, God has made it plain so that men are without excuse. Everybody knows he exists. They just don't want. They don't want judgment. They don't want to have to give an account for their lives. They don't want to have to surrender to anybody. And so all of our problems ultimately are spiritual problems. What can you say? Give us some encouragement here in America as this country continues to turn her back more and more on God's word and on our own Christian founding.
Thank you. But one of the other things I'd like to say quickly is that part of the reaction of the devil is because many more people are getting to know the Lord and following Jesus all around the world. That's the reality. And Satan can't cope with that. He doesn't know how to address that. One other reason why he's turning Americans away from God is because Americans have played a leading role in championing the cause of Christ around the world. So if he could distract you guys and keep you busy doing other things, focusing on yourself, then he succeeds. So I need to encourage the church here to know that we are in the last hour of the last day of this whole issue. And in spite of the fact that things are bad, situations are very terrible, Jesus has not withdrawn the troop. He didn't die in defeat.
Yep.
He didn't die in surrender.
Amen.
He spread out his arm in embrace, not up in the air in surrender. We need to know that and keep going with the reality of what God wants to do in our world, through us, in us, for his glory.
Amen. That's so beautifully said. Thank you so much for that encouragement, Timothy. Well, we only have a couple minutes left, Pastor, so tell us how we can be a part of what God's doing in you and through you and your organization at timolinade.com. I put that link up at our Facebook page as well, so you can just click on that. But how can we partner with you? How can we support you in what God has called you to do over there in Africa?
Well, number one is prayer. We'd like to see more people praying for what we're doing and our programs. Number two is participation. We'd like to see more people stepping out of the safe haven of America to come and see and share our moment of joy, our moment of breakthrough in Africa. So we invite you to go online, any of our programs, you're willing and you're ready, we'll be glad to receive you. The third one is to support in finance, in whatever way God may allow you to do that.
And then they can actually, so you're actually inviting people to come over to Africa and be a part of what God is doing, right?
Yeah.
Like, come on down. Come on over.
Yeah. Stacy was with me last year. Stacy was with me last summer. And somebody else is coming over this year. We're having people coming. Risk takers. You come over and see what God is doing around the world.
Yeah, and it's so amazing to do that. Like I've mentioned, I've been to Africa a couple of times, and God willing, I'll be able to get back over there, Timothy, and hopefully be able to see you and meet you face to face over there. But it really is, I cannot say enough about the fruit that's come off of those two trips that God has allowed me to take to Africa, just to see a bigger vision of the kingdom, to see brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as the lost over there in a totally different context. And that's the amazing thing. I mentioned that at the beginning of the show. As soon as you get in the presence of other believers, no matter where you are on this globe, the fellowship, the friendship is immediate and eternal. It's really an amazing supernatural thing to experience. Pastor Timothy Olinade, God bless you, brother. Thank you so much for sharing with us today and for sharing what you're doing. You're very welcome, and we'll do it again. Please tell Stacy I said hello and thank you again. And friends, make sure you go to the website. Take care, Pastor. We'll talk to you again real soon. Friends, make sure you go to the Facebook page. You can check out Timothy's website there. Or just remember Timothy Olinade, which is just O-L-O-N-A-D-E. .com. TimOlinade.com. But the link's at the Facebook page. Tomorrow, I'll actually have Larry Taunton on tomorrow about his book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, one of the most prolific atheists in the last 30 years. He died a couple years ago. He was really good friends with Larry. You'll hear that story tomorrow here on Call to Action. God willing, I'll talk to you again then.